talking a little bit about cancer today, but before we jump to that, anything new with you, Lee?
Had Thanksgiving. How'd that go for you?
Oh, it was a great time.
Your kitchen was being remodeled last time we checked?
Kitchen's being remodeled. We actually had an Iron Chef.
How'd you do the turkey?
The turkey was Boston Market, and it was frozen. But we did make a pretty good spread of items with the toaster oven in the range. It was good.
You made it happen because you're the culinary expert.
Yeah, all in 60 minutes. We had a blast.
Nice. I had a Popeye's Cajun turkey every year, 4 years in a row now.
You're joking.
I swear.
Yee. Is it good?
It's fantastic.
I'll have to try that.
Fantastic.
I'll have to try that. Well, we have another guest now, too. Wonderful. But before we introduce our guests, I will tell you, Lee, there are certain stories that warm your heart. And I read an article about this mother-daughter duo, and it warmed my heart enough to try to hunt them down on the internet and otherwise to have them join us today. I've had their first Susan Snap, my first Susan Snap at the Sandy Springs Festival, and it definitely won over my taste palate, but their story is so heartwarming. Welcome to the show, Susan and Laura, from Susan Snap's Cookies. Tell us a little bit about how Susan Snap started.
Well, a number of years ago, we had a dessert company my husband and I had started, and things changed a little bit when he was diagnosed with cancer and had to start some chemotherapy. So we thought we would add this little cookie, ginger snap. Ginger is a natural stomach soother, so it kind of made sense to add this cookie to our line. So we added the cookie, and lo and behold, before we got it launched too far, our daughter was diagnosed 6 months later after my husband had just finished chemotherapy. In fact, they were sitting side by side on occasion undergoing chemotherapy together. So the natural transition was to take this little cookie and put a name on it. And we very easily named it Susan Snaps, named for my daughter, as well as in memory of one of my older sisters, Susan, for whom our daughter is named, and actually died of the same disease that Susan was diagnosed with.
Wow. And how long ago did the company start? The dessert company's been around a while, right?
It certainly has. The Susan Snaps we've been doing just over a couple of years.
About 3 years.
Yeah. So who would have thought this one little cookie would have such an impact?
That the one little cookie would take you, all over. Paula Deen has featured the Susan Snap.
We're in her holiday issue this month.
How neat is that?
It's pretty wild to think this little cookie we make here in Atlanta is reaching people all over the country.
All over the country. And tell us a little bit about the foundation you've set up.
We've just been approved for our own foundation. It'll be the Susan Carver Foundation. It's in support of all cancer. We believe all cancer is horrible, not one specific kind. And our money will go to specifically genetic studies and the link, within families with cancer.
That's great. Martha Stewart. Tell us a little bit about that. Somebody won an award here, right?
Well, very humbly, I was the one that was recognized, but Susan wrote in. There was an opportunity to write in, and she submitted a 250-word essay, and there were 11 people in the country chosen, and we were honored by going to New York. We couldn't believe it. We got out of the limo in Times Square and stayed at the W Hotel.
We got to a dinner party with Martha Stewart. Had cocktails with her.
Wow.
Yeah, talk about a wild experience.
How was the table set?
Oh, it was unbelievable. We walked into this restaurant, and she still had a big, huge flower arrangement.
Did she cut the flowers herself from her garden?
Oh, I'm sure she did.
It's the P word, perfect.
I'm sure
perfect.
It was.
But we kind of relate to that, because Susan and I try to put together a perfect cookie, perfect packaging, and not such a perfect story, but we try to do something along those lines. So
you took a negative and turned it into a positive.
Exactly.
The packaging is great. Tell us a little bit about how you came up with the packaging. It's simple, and I love the design, the color.
Well, thank you. The designs were actually something I did back in high school, and I was just doodling them in college, and my mom thought, well, can I borrow one of your designs for my company logo? And then when I was going through chemo, I worked on some of the other drawings for the different lines. So now we've got Christmas and Pregnant Polly for the pregnant ladies.
Love it. I love that. And there was a nurse.
Nurse Ginger, yes.
Yeah, I really thought that was a neat touch. But one question I did have, though, is I was looking at the packaging, and I thought, gosh, you must be a Georgia grad, but you're not.
No, War Eagle. I'm an Auburn girl.
All the red and black. I love it, though.
I do like red and black.
Yeah.
But I bleed orange and blue.
And now, how is what kind of feedback do you get from the people who have the cookies?
Once people have them once, they are our customers for life. They get hooked.
Yeah. Is this something that, like, they can get on a regular basis, or is it, or do they buy it per occasion?
You can get it on a regular basis. So we ship year-round. Mm-hmm. We offer a variety of different styles of packaging. So we've got gift tins, which make great gifts. We also sell them in little bakery bags so people can enjoy them themselves.
So tell us about Nordstrom's. That had to have been wild. You take your concept to a store like Nordstrom's. Tell us about that experience.
Well, we definitely did just take the concept because we just basically took a prototype, and on a wing, Susan and I went in and walked out about 3 minutes later with the opportunity to sell to all 100 espresso bars. So it was quite an extraordinary thing and a wonderful launch for us and a great add a girls to our packaging and to our product. And quite remarkably, even to the story. We weren't sure that corporate America would respond to that, but they were very enthusiastic about our philanthropic angle.
Well, can you share, I think this would help our listeners, like how that all came about? Like you thought, hey, this would be a good fit into Nordstrom, and then what'd you do to make that relationship happen?
Well, actually, we had a friend that had suggested that the espresso bar might be a nice place with a cup of coffee or a cup of tea. So I called, actually, the Southeast manager and said, sure, come on down.
Were they here in Atlanta?
In Atlanta at the Perimeter store, and we literally
set up a meeting with them.
Yeah, dressed up, walked down there, handed them the product.
Very nervous.
And so like put her fingernails into my hand on the way out. She said,
whatever they said, we said, yes, we can do that.
I think
not a problem.
And then we went
whatever
home
you
and
want.
We figured it out afterwards. But they were very nice to us and have been very supportive in what we're doing.
Wow, that's fantastic.
So you can get your cookies online. Give us your website.
It's susansnaps.com.
That's easy to remember.
Yes.
And you can also purchase them at Nordstrom's.
Yes.
What a great holiday gift, too. You know, you always wonder what you can take to somebody.
Well, what do you guys see next? How is it evolving?
We're just trying to keep up with the ginger snaps right now, but hopefully maybe somewhere down the line we'll add some other flavors of snaps.
Mm-hmm. Susan also is a wonderful public speaker and has had a couple of opportunities. Also, the message out is that a lot of people don't know quite what to do, and it doesn't have to be a Susan snap. But Susan feels very strongly that it's, you know, wonderful to get a treat, wonderful to be remembered when you're going through chemotherapy.
Right.
Of course, if it's a Susan snap, that's all better for us.
Everybody wins.
But yes. I think Susan's a wonderful poster child for somebody young that's experienced something so difficult and come out on top of it.
And then how are you getting the word out right now? Your website? I know you were featured in the Martha Stewart thing and Paula Deen.
Well, the media, when we get, in the magazines or with you guys on the radio, that's always good. And other than that, just internet.
So you're doing public speaking?
I've done a few things around, yes.
Cool. So right now, the best way to get a hold of you is susansnaps.com?
Yes.
Wonderful. Well, we've got another Susan joining us today. And thank you so much for taking time out of the kitchen, too. I bet your day starts early.
But this is nice to be sitting down and chit-chatting with you guys.
And y'all look great. Gosh.
Thank you so much.
Susan Brown is joining us also today. And Susan Brown is a life coach. And I really don't know how to introduce her. She wears many hats, like many mothers, has a multifaceted background and just wears many hats throughout the course of her day. But Susan is also a life coach and a cancer survivor. So welcome to the show, Susan Brown.
Thank you for having me.
So tell us a little bit about your coaching for somebody going through cancer.
Okay. I'll start with life coaching as one of the hats that I do wear. To best explain life coaching, it's probably good to start with what it is not. And the reason I want to start there is because we have this perception of coaches. If you think of an athletic coach, like a football coach or a basketball coach, in that kind of relationship, those coaches are running all the plays. They determine the strategy, they run the players through the drills, and then on game day, the players are expected to execute the coach's strategy. Well, life coaching is so not like that. In fact, when you have a relationship with a life coach, you actually start not with the coach's agenda, but you'll start with the client's agenda. And what I mean by that is that the agenda is the client's agenda are their dreams, their desires, their goals, and their obstacles. And so a coach wants to start with the client's agenda. And from there, you look at obstacles, and then you also create a game plan. So a real key thing with life coaching is to develop a strategy or an action plan that is made up of a lot of measurable steps.
I noticed on your website there were some key words, recover, reclaim, rejoice. Those were all in your heading. Would you tell us a little bit about how this relates to your life coaching?
As my passion as a life coach and is to help people recover from any kind of serious or chronic illness. I don't know if you mentioned earlier, but I'm a breast cancer survivor of 10 years. And so based on my experience, I know what it's like to go through that process. And I felt that that whole process, the healing process, is one about self-discovery as well as healing in emotional ways, physical ways. And these three words summed up to me what that process is all about. Recover refers to that need to restore balance. A synonym for recover is to bring back into balance. And people are really struggling to bring their lives back into balance during that recovery process. Reclaim refers to that really deep need we have to reclaim our hope, our health, and our well-being. And it also refers to a need to reclaim identity. When you go through this process, it's a setback in your life, and you've probably temporarily had to put on hold any kind of identity you've had, like as a parent or as a spouse or as an employee or as an employer, and people want to reclaim that to get back to normal. And then rejoice really reflects that the birthright we have to all of us to experience joy. So those three words, I felt, summed up that whole process.
So how would you say life coaching is different from, say, a cancer support group?
I would say that there's two primary differences. One is in the delivery model. In life coaching, it's primarily a one-to-one relationship. It's you and the coach, and it's really for someone who wants to develop an intense relationship with someone who can really empower them to change their lives, because it's all about you. It's your needs. If you're the client, it's all about your needs, your desires, your obstacles.
It's more personal, right, this
absolutely.
Life coaching experience.
It's much more personal.
Right. What are the kind of things that you see when a person initially comes up to you? What is their big concern?
Well, there can be a number of things, but one of them is dealing with intense feelings. This is a time when if you're either undergoing treatment or post-treatment, you have a wide range of feelings. It can be really common feelings to cancer patients and survivors are feelings of isolation. You feel like you're the only one going through this.
Right.
And you are the only one. It is your battle to fight. Mm-hmm. Feelings of hopelessness, anger, blame, guilt. So really intense feelings. That's an area that people can really use help in navigating.
And then what are some of the techniques you use to kind of help them through this?
Meditation and relaxation, guided imagery are really powerful.
Mm-hmm.
Just letting them have a voice and being really objective and non-judgmental. Oftentimes family members and any type of caregiver really brings their own fears into the process, so it's really helpful to have someone who can listen and just be really supportive and empowering what they're going through.
Do you work with the family members as well, or is it mostly just with the patient?
With patients and caregivers. Caregivers are the guests that were on earlier, can probably speak to that. It can be as traumatic and stressful for the caregiver, mm-hmm. as well as for the patient or the person recovering.
Well, Susan, thank you for joining us. And how do people reach you if they want to learn more about your service?
The best way to reach me right now is through my website, which is www.liveanempoweredlife.com.
Do you have any workshops or anything going on right now you'd like to talk about?
I do. I do group coaching, actually. In addition to individualized coaching, I do group coaching at two different locations. One is the Wellness Center, located on Johnson Ferry Road, and the other location is at the Spa Omaji, which is in Buckhead. And the workshops that I'm doing are on my website. So there's
a
couple
of
different things.
What happens at one of those workshops?
It depends on the format. One, I'm actually going to be starting guided imagery and relaxation,
uh-huh.
so that kind of goes without saying what that's like. And then the other workshops, if it's a group coaching, we usually start with a topic, and then from there I give some information, and then we go into coaching, individualized coaching. People can ask questions, they can listen, they can respond, they can share with one another.
But your coaching is more about the coping rather than like. the actual science of the cancer and all
exactly,
that.
Right? Exactly. It's a, yeah, it's definitely going through that healing process, which is coping, and really coming up with strategies to, again, my company is called Live an Empowered Life, so I really, my passion is to empower people's lives mm-hmm. in the ways that they really need.
Thank you, Susan. Thank you for joining us this morning. We also have Terry Levinson here this morning from the American Cancer Society. I know the first thing people do when they're diagnosed with cancer is usually go to the internet and try to get as much information as possible. And it's so important to get the right information. And, of course, the best place to go that's most credible would be the American Cancer Society. And Terry's joining us today. She is a patient navigator. Do I have that right?
That's correct. It's called a patient resource navigator.
Tell us a little bit about that program.
The patient resource navigator, kind of as you alluded to, in the past, the American Cancer Society, we knew that there were families that were not going to the internet and not calling the 1-800 number when they were diagnosed with cancer. And their caregivers really didn't know where to go to get information. So this program started to help patients and caregivers have a new way of getting to the American Cancer Society. Basically, the Patient Resource Navigation Program is one and where American Cancer Society employees are placed inside the hospital setting, and we proactively go out to patients and caregivers who've been diagnosed with cancer and let them know about the resources that are available to them in the hospital, in the community, and through the American Cancer Society.
What are some of the resources?
Many of the things that we have through the American Cancer Society are supportive. We have information on support groups, certainly information on cancer. Just yesterday, I had a family who the mother was diagnosed with small cell lung cancer, and they were uncertain where to find the information. So just getting that type of information to the family, navigating through the website is available to them. We also have other programs like Look Good, Feel Better, which is a cosmetic a program which helps women who've been diagnosed with breast cancer feel good about themselves while they're going through treatment.
Are the people that do these kind of seminars and workshops, are they therapists or are they just representatives of the Cancer Society?
Well, the American Cancer Society, we have a really strong and wonderful base of volunteers. And so we have volunteers come in. Many cosmetologists are trained to do the Look Good, Feel Better mm-hmm. program. And then we have some survivors and other volunteers in the community who provide support through support groups.
So it's kind of a grassroots thing where people are giving back because they've gone through it and they just want to help other people?
Absolutely. Some people, when they've gone through their treatment, want to find a way to help others. Just like many of the guests you had here today, the Susans, it's really wonderful that going through such a troubling experience sometimes brings people to a level that they want to help others get through.
There was an interview that I had read with you in the Business Chronicle, and you said something about when a patient is diagnosed with cancer, it's almost like putting a glacier in front of them, and that this new program is like a pilot that navigates around it.
Absolutely.
It was a great analogy on your part. Can you get in a little bit deeper to what are some of the facets of what you would do as a patient navigator other than help people find support groups? Do you help with their managed care and coordination of specialists?
Mm-hmm. Basically, first let me just say David Zaks, one of our great board people, was actually the person who came up with that wonderful analogy. But it is true, because when cancer is put in front of you, you don't know where to go and where to, and how to navigate around it.
And there's a big hidden part that you don't know what you don't know.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, we do a great number of things. Patient navigators, basically, though, we link patients to other resources inside the organization. So we have a transportation specialist who would talk with the patients about how they can get to and from their treatment. We provide some resources as a stopgap to help them while they are trying to get other ways of getting to and from their treatment. We do have a patient advocate who's a licensed clinical social worker, and she helps with things like managed care, emotional stress, and feeling overwhelmed with the cancer experience. A great group of and team of people that I work with make it possible for patient navigators to provide those resources to patients. But we've been known to get on the computer, find anything that exists in the community here in Atlanta or wherever the patient is coming from.
So the program is nationwide?
Absolutely. But here in the South Atlantic Division, we actually have a number of new navigators. I think we're up to about 27, and we're trying to get to 30 by the end of December. And so we're leading the country in the number of navigators in hospitals right now.
Now, you mentioned earlier that you actually take a proactive stance in this. So if you see a patient in the hospital that's, you know, diagnosed with cancer, you approach them?
Yeah, patient navigators, when we get to the hospital setting, we have to become very acclimated to that community. So we learn who the physicians are in the hospital. We learn and have relationships with the nurses and with the different departments. And when they come in contact with patients who've been diagnosed with cancer, they'll refer them to us.
So
many times.
So, like, they're in the hospital. Mm-hmm. I just want to kind of visualize how this is all going to play out. So I'm in the hospital. I'm diagnosed. Mm-hmm. One of your representatives could possibly come into my room and say, mm-hmm. hey, I'm with the American Cancer Society.
Absolutely. You've been diagnosed by your primary care physician that you have cancer cells, and you go to the maybe radiation oncologist. I see you in your radiation in the radiation oncology department. Walk up to you and say, hi, my name is Terry Lewinson from the American Cancer Society. I'm a patient navigator, and I'd love to help you with any kind of concerns that you're having. And oftentimes, it really is just building relationships at first, because when you're hit with the news of cancer, you don't know what resources you might need at the time. So it's really just relationship building at first, and we follow them through their treatments, stay with them throughout the time that they're going through some of the difficult decisions, and they know then they can come back to us at the hospital, but also, more importantly, they can come to the American Cancer Society for the rest of their lives.
Now, is this something where, like, doctors, a lot of people who have cancer, they have a team of doctors,
mm-hmm.
and sometimes they're giving them kind of different opinions of the mm-hmm. path they should take.
Mm-hmm.
Can they actually use you as kind of an objective resource?
What we try to do is direct patients to resources that we know are pretty valid. The American Cancer Society, we publish a great deal of information about treatment options and how to talk to your doctor.
Mm-hmm.
And then usually our patient advocate is a nice resource for patients to talk to about confusing feelings and things of that sort. We certainly wouldn't direct them on any particular
course of treatment,
right. Absolutely. But we want them to be well-informed.
Right.
And so that's usually our role.
But you could help them with the pros and cons of the different ones, or mm-hmm. or would you not go that far?
Absolutely. We talk to them about radiation therapy, what some of the side effects might be.
And what they can expect.
What they can mm-hmm. expect.
Right.
And some of the ways that people have overcome some of the side effects of chemotherapy or radiation mm-hmm. or even surgery. And that way, you know, they can make decisions that are right for them.
Do you help them at all with their dietary needs?
We have a dietitian on call program at the American Cancer Society, and so if a patient comes to me at the hospital, usually our first line is to refer them to the dietitian in the hospital. But if they're an outpatient or if they don't have access to that in-house dietitian, we have a American Cancer Society dietitian who can talk with them.
And if they really need to be cheered up, you can suggest the Susan Snap.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
You have to try one. They're delicious.
Yeah, I'm a little hungry. I may do that.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, they're right there.
Now, what about from a financial standpoint? A lot of people's insurance covers certain things. They don't cover other things.
Yeah.
Do you help them in that area as well?
Yeah, financial is really always a significant problem for people. Even when you do have really good insurance, you never expect to have so many troubles with keeping your lights on and paying your mortgage when you're going through.
Right. Well, you don't realize what the limitations of your insurance are until you're kind of in there.
So. Absolutely. Yeah, we talk to them. We try to find resources in the community for them. There's some great nonprofit organizations that will help some patients with co-payments for their prescriptions,
right.
Prescription assistance programs, and we assist them with that. But we also, again, we connect them to our social workers in the American Cancer Society, and there are resources that are like grants that might be available through the American Cancer Society we can help them with.
Now, what percentage would you say of people that you come in contact actually mm-hmm. take you up with all these great resources?
Oh, many.
Is it the majority or is it?
I would say over 90%. I mean, usually patients, I mean, if it's not resource in terms of financial, it's always information. They're
uh-huh.
always very happy to have information that they didn't have. The other thing is that they really like having the relationship, because when you go in a hospital setting, everything is really kind of, it's
cold,
systematic.
And
yeah, right. This department really is not that well right. connected with the other department. Right. So having a friendly face to walk into every, you know, walk to every day, just to say hi and how are you doing today is a nice welcome.
So you're in touch with them that often, like on a daily basis if they're there?
Yeah, some patients have to go through radiation therapy and they're there daily, and I'll see them in radiation oncology, the oncology department. And then other patients, they may come every 21 days for their chemotherapy appointments, and I'll see them then. So we spend a lot of time in the radiation department and the infusion room and even on the inpatient oncology floor.
Mm-hmm.
So do you also help the caregivers then? Because I would imagine the support Absolutely. There is so necessary on a different level.
Absolutely. Caregivers, I think it was alluded to before, they really go through a great deal of stress about how to support the patient who's going through cancer. And it's a pleasure to really be there for caregivers and just give them, you know, it's okay. I've actually had a caregiver who didn't want to break down in front of the family member.
Right, because they want to be strong.
Absolutely. Anyway. They want to always be strong. But I allowed them to come in my office and sit, and if you want to cry, if you want to talk, whatever you want to do, we can do that together. And mm-hmm. then they can feel strong for the patient. Luckily, where I'm situated, we have a Hope Lodge connection in the hospital, and it allows some of our caregivers who have patients in the hospital to stay there at the hospital and just have some respite for themselves.
Now, if our listeners are going through this, do you have any tips that you would, you know, like key takeaways from this that you would recommend?
Always know what resources are available to you. Ask questions. Don't feel like you need to go through it alone. That it's so incredibly important to surround yourself around people who are going to be supportive and give you good information, and to remember that just because someone had a particular experience with their cancer treatment or their course of treatment, that might not be the same for you. So mm-hmm. be strong and listen to much information about cancer and resources, and try to make informed decisions with your physician.
Is there any like a common myth that you see over and over again that you'd like to debunk?
Well, a lot of what I see is I don't want to deal with the cancer. If I ignore it, it'll go away.
Mm-hmm.
I would suggest that, you know, patients really not take that approach and address this issue of cancer. There's still this notion that you get cancer, you're not going to make it.
Mm-hmm.
And I am very fortunate to see people have their treatment and do well and call me back 6 months later. And when they're coming back for their follow-ups, they come and see me, and they're looking great.
Mm-hmm.
And so really just take care of yourself.
Right. It's not a death sentence.
Don't run. Right. Absolutely. Don't give up. Don't give up. Fight for it.
Mm-hmm.
And go for the regular exams, too. I think that's
Absolutely.
Something people don't really take care of themselves,
mm-hmm.
and so they catch the disease before it's taken over other organs. I mean, it's so important to get regular checkups, and
that's right.
and the ability to diagnose these cancers are so much finer than they used to be, but also mm-hmm. the ability to treat them is so great.
Absolutely. It's pre-screening. Your screenings are incredibly important. Definitely be sure to be screened for all of the breast cancer and prostate cancers, colon cancers. It's just so incredibly important.
Right.
And put the cigarettes down.
And that's there's all that information's on your site, right?
Absolutely. You can go to www.cancer.org.
Wonderful. Last question I have for you is, what kind of advice would you give to somebody who is trying to comfort someone going through cancer? I mean, is it a phone call? People always struggle with, what do you say?
It's really important. Many of my patients have told me that their friends kind of back off from them because they don't. They don't know what to say. They're not sure how to
support
them.
Or they don't want to say the wrong thing.
They don't want to say the wrong thing. Just be yourself and allow that patient to come to you. Let your friend or your loved one come to you with what they need when they need it. Try to help them have a good time, because they're often so inundated with medical decisions. If there's any way that you can help cheer them up, help support them, help encourage them, but then allow them, if they want to be weak for a moment, go ahead and let them be weak mm-hmm. for a moment, and then, you know, find some way to be happy again.
That's great advice.
Mm-hmm.
Ladies, thank you so much for taking the time to be with us this morning. I'm sure our listeners have learned a lot about supporting their friends and families as they're going through cancer. Lee, any final comments?
No, great show. Again, great information. And be sure to check out all their websites.
Absolutely. For now, this is Amy Otto and Lee Cantor from Atlanta Business Radio. Have a great day.